The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, The Midnight Jury, After Midnight, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
It's a day that I'm certain my guest at this time will not forget. I'm talking about the former Intercontinental Champion of the World, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Nothing means nothing.
Nothing means nothing.
Nothing means nothing. What do you mean by that?
More. I'm talking about all the way to the top, yeah. Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah. Macho Madness, yeah, has got more to offer than President Jack Tunney thinks that I got. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something right now. Cards stacked against the Macho Man Randy Savage in WrestleMania 3. Yeah, let me say it, yeah. Let me say it out loud, and let me point to the president of the World Wrestling Federation. The Macho Man Randy Savage is not happy with your decision. Yeah, I am the cream in the World Wrestling Federation.
Wait a minute,
there is no doubt about it. Yeah, you mean Gene Okerlund. You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Wait a minute, though, Randy. I've got to ask you very seriously. Do you blame Mr. Jack Tunney, the distinguished president of the World Wrestling Federation, for Ricky Steamboat being the Intercontinental Champion today?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Outside interference, yeah. In my moment of glory. Yeah, now I'm living in a nightmare, and I am the cream. And now, not only the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship belt must fall, but the World Heavyweight Championship belt. Because Hulk Hogan, yeah, I am the cream, yeah, the cream of the crop. And there is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy Savage. On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. I'm better than you are, yeah. And I'm talking to everyone in the World Wrestling Federation. And I'm even talking to President Jack Tunney, yeah. I'm on my way. And nothing is going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me.
You know, just out of curiosity, Randy, and I certainly don't want to diminish your tremendous God-given talents, but I'm very curious. I haven't seen Elizabeth lately.
Yeah, she's on the outside of the ring. Does she interfere in matches? Yeah. Nothing, zero, yeah. Pure athlete, yeah. And I've been, maligned from the top to the bottom. And because they can't handle the Macho Man Randy Savage, the cream of the crop. No.
Yeah. Unbelievable, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and assorted lowlifes, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. From the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I'm joined by
the Mega Powers. Oh yeah,
yeah, the Mega Powers, huh? And we're live, bitch. We're live. Rant Entertainment Media. Yeah, rantemradio.com. Aha!
The most distinguished pro wrestling podcast host of all time.
That's right. Rant EM Radio is the place. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. It is January the 14th, 2015. Episode 102. Because you're already new. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a pretty intense workout before I got here.
I got a plenty workout today, my friend.
Oh, my God. Well, this workout almost involved me shitting myself. Luckily, there was a bathroom, so I ran in there. Let it loose, and then I went back to the ropes and swinging the fucking ropes. Came back home. Now I'm, like, eating all these fucking loaves of bread.
So nice. Well,
getting my Jesus Christ on and breaking bread.
Getting your Jesus El Savior Cristo.
Yeah, that that Mexican wrestler, Jesus Cristo.
That's Jesus Cristo. I used to love transporting Hispanic patients to the hospital, like the elderly women. They would like the ay-ay-ays, oh Dios mío, Jesus Cristo, Jesus Cristo.
Yo, let me tell you this. Here's a little story for you. I was at a Chikara show ways back, and they had this one wrestler by the name of Lince Dorado.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy did a shooting star press, landed on like the crown of his head. Luckily landed on top of the guy that he was facing, got the three count. After the match, the dude was not moving.
Oh boy.
So, you know, a bunch of the wrestlers ran, you know, to the ring, made sure he was doing all right. Guy was like completely knocked out. They brought him to the back and like, they still had like a couple matches to go. And all the fans were just kind of like, you know, what the fuck just happened? And this happened at the ECW Arena. I guess the family was there because it was like a pretty big match. I think it was like Mask versus Hair or some shit like that. And you could hear the family screaming and crying, and the fans thought the dude was dead. Luckily, we found out the guy just had a concussion and knocked himself out.
Jesus.
So it was pretty intense. So, but you know, when you have, I think the dude was like Puerto Rican, but just the way that his family reacted in the back, like everybody in the arena could hear like the mom or, you know, some female family member screaming, and it was like, oh shit, the dude's dead. Let's run.
Wow.
So, luckily the guy's still alive.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Thank Jesus Christo for that.
So we have redecorated the Decadome today.
Really?
Yeah, and we got, like, new furniture, like, new couches and shit. So what we had to do is, you know, I only had the one couch, and then I had my Archie Bunker chair. Well, we had to get rid of those two pieces. Unfortunately, I lost my Archie Bunker chair today. So the entertainment center went where my chair used to be, and across, you know, and then we have two couches. So now we have, like, a lot of room, you know. So now we had to run a wire, the cable wire, from where the TV used to be to, you know, over here, to where my chair used to be. So I had some separation anxiety because I, you know, the chair came with the house. And I would, no, yeah, the lady who passed away left some furniture behind. And
did she die in the furniture?
No. No, she didn't. I found out before I actually sat in it, but the thing was, I got attached to the chair for several reasons. When we bought the house, my wife had booked a fundraiser in like Bermuda months and months and months before that. So
sounds like a good place to have a fundraiser.
Right, she did some marathon in Bermuda with her best friend. But the thing was, the race was a week before we were supposed to move, but it was already booked. The tickets were bought. This is before we closed on the house. So she goes away. And now I'm alone, like, moving some miscellaneous shit with the car that we had back and forth, because my other apartment was only, like, a mile or two away.
Gotcha.
So I'm going back and forth, and I actually, like, hung out in this empty house in this chair. So I've been sitting in that chair since, like, a week before I actually moved in the house. And, you know, every time we have an event, I'm always in my chair, you know?
Yeah.
So I had some separation anxiety today throwing that chair out. So
and I tried not sitting in that chair because I didn't want you calling me a meathead.
That yeah, weeks. I know.
Get out of my chair, meathead.
A buddy, Deck from Ireland, mentioned something like that today about the Archie Bunker chair when I put a picture on Facebook where the chair used to be. And Deck said something. He made an Archie Bunker reference. That's pretty cool. Shout out to Deck, by the way. Shout out to everybody, man. Tank's in the chat room. I don't see, who's that? Who else? Me and you are in the chat room. Everybody else, I think, is anonymous.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Tank, by the way. Me and Tank were hanging out over the weekend. Did some baseball shit.
Yeah, saw some photos.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com is up. Every episode that we've done is up there. Go get some. Go check it out. Give us some feedback.
Do catchphrase, come get some?
No. Just felt like saying it.
It should be the new catchphrase, come get some.
I think it's already taken, though, no?
We could take it back.
New shirt up there is on ProWrestlingTees.com /TurnbuckleThrowbacks. The New Japan Pro Wrestling-inspired t-shirt. Go get that. Or come get some.
Come get some on ProWrestlingTees.com. Uh-huh. The new catchphrase of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Come get some.
Come get some for 2015. Uh-huh. Need a little excitement? Come get some.
Snap into getting some.
All right, let's get into some news and notes.
Oh, I want to... here's a little news for you. I got two announcements.
You want to wait till we're done with the news, or you want to do it right away?
No, I'm going to do it right away.
Okay, Mega Powers.
I can't wait for this.
Okay.
First of all, I have a new nickname.
What?
Well, you can still call me the Mega Powers, but...
My whole family calls you Mega Powers.
Well, I have a new nickname at work, and I actually really like it.
Oh, no.
Initially, they were calling me Grumpy Cat because I really fucking hated being there. But they actually switched my position to what I want, which was really surprising because they're like, initially, they didn't want to give it to me. But then they're like, oh, shit, he's actually really good at, you know, doing this position that he wants to do. So they gave it to me, and I started acting more happy when I go to work.
Okay.
So, well, I do have another nickname there. They were calling me Grumpy Cat, but then I was called the Sasquatch because I was giving a lot of people sass while I was there. But now I've been upgraded to Chipper Cabra because I've been so nice lately.
Chupacabra?
No, Chipper Cabra.
Oh, Chipper Cabra. Because, I mean, Chupacabra is like the goat sucker, right, from Puerto
Rico?
Yeah,
so now I'm sucking everybody's chipperness or something like that.
You're sucking chipperness. All right, you chip-sucking, mega-powers, grumpy cat person.
And but the biggest announcement, I can now make it official.
Okay.
I will be presenting the award for... I guess the best black guy for the Black Achievement Awards.
Black Achiever Awards?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you squared that away with the brass at Randian Radio?
Yeah, I just told him, like, hey, let me do this. And he said, okay. And that was really it.
All right. Welcome back to the chat room, Mr. X, Axel Foley. I actually sent Axel a link last night.
Axel Foley, I'm still White Lightning, too.
Yes, he is still
White. I just have, like, an insane amount of nicknames.
Grumpy Sasquatch. I like that, Tank. I like that.
Well, it was Sass. Quatch, like sass and Sasquatch.
No, I get it. I get the pun. I get it.
Because I'm so sassy.
You are very sassy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, but you know what? Let's get this out of the way first. Before I get into any news, go to rantdmradio.com. If you're in the chat room, go now. Enter the Royal Rumble contest. Click on the link. Go all that. Dave mentioned the Black Achiever Awards coming this February to the Rant. Also, the first annual Ranty Awards is coming later on in the month. Dave and I are up for a few awards, so you know you guys what you got to do. Got to vote us in.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so, of course.
It's the only vote that counts in this country at this point.
Right. Exactly.
Look what happened when everybody voted for Obama.
ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Go get King of the Indies Episode 2 with our boy KG, the Prince of PMA, all day in your face, old school Queens, New York hardcore head. Shout out to Kevin Gill and all those cats. And I think that's it. I don't have any other programming news unless somebody reminds me. Yeah, Tank's up for a ranty too. Vote for Tank. All right, let's get into some news real quick because we had a nice throwback for you guys tonight. Obviously, I played the Macho Man promo in the beginning and the music. Obviously, if you've been living under a rock, he was inducted. Or he was announced that he's the first inductee to the Hall of Fame this year at WrestleMania. Leaping Lanny was on with Bill Apter and mentioned how he said before that he wouldn't budge on Savage's Hall of Fame induction unless the whole family gets in. We talked about that months ago.
Yeah, and what happened?
Nothing.
They said, fuck you, said, Lanny Poffo.
Right, they said, fuck you, we're doing a documentary about your brother again, and we'll let you
throw
on it.
Throw your stupid-ass frisbees into the crowd and call it a night.
So Poffo felt, and I quote, he tells Dave Bilapter on OneWrestling.com that he shouldn't punish the fans anymore and let WWE go ahead with the induction. Poffo then went on to talk about how Savage loved the fans. Poffo said he's not ashamed for making the decisions. Now, big discussion on the Facebook page yesterday. Had to take care of some people, put them in check, because people, you know, read things and they just want to run their mouth. And I put them in check. What happened now? Here's the thing. I put up a link about Hogan getting the nod to actually induct him, and I took offense to it because I felt that there were too many other people that could have done it. I mean, the obvious choice was to have his brother do it. But his brother really wasn't a superstar. He was a mid-card guy. Okay? That's first of all. You could have had Jim...
His brother is probably going to accept the award on his behalf.
That's...
So he'll talk anyway.
I was getting to that. Right. So it's not far-fetched that he's going to bring... they're going to bring his mom and Lanny out for the event, and they're going to accept on his behalf, which I think is fantastic, because he didn't have any children. And probably his wife, too, I'm assuming. Then somebody mentioned Lex Luger, and I laughed. Then I said, and I know these are going to be out of the way, but what about guys like?
I think Lex Luger is a pretty good choice.
Lex Luger's an okay choice, but I got two other. I got two.
He fucking killed Miss Elizabeth.
Right. I got two other choices though, and they're valid. Okay. I got Jimmy Hart, and I say Jimmy Hart because Jimmy Hart is the reason why Savage had a job at the E.
Yeah.
When Lawler and Memphis did the merge with Angelo Poffo's IWA. And Vince started cherry picking his people. Right? Was it IWC?
I think it was ICW.
ICW. When they did the merge, and Vince was cherry picking guys, it was only the thing where I said, "Well, what about Jimmy Hart?" Because Jimmy Hart was like, "Listen, go get Randy." He was the one that suggested Randy, and then Lawler. I mean, if it wasn't for Lawler doing the merge, then Lawler, you would never see Savage on TV. So those are, and everybody's like, oh, what about Ricky Steamboat? He has one match with Ricky Steamboat. It's a classic. It's one of the best matches in pro wrestling, but there's no substance there. What's Steamboat going to do? Go up on there and talk for 10 minutes about one match and induct him? It's cool, but like,
First of all, Macho Man Savage should not be in the Hall of Fame because he tried to kill Ricky Steamboat
with the bell.
Yeah, why would you want to put a guy like that in the Hall of Fame? Next thing you know, you're going to put in Chris Benoit in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, that's in another extreme.
The Berserker when he tried to kill Undertaker.
True. Undertaker almost got killed tonight in our throwback.
We'll
get into that in a few minutes. But, I mean, listen, here's the deal. And Shining Wizards Matt stole my thunder last night. A lot of people make a big deal about the Hall of Fame. And, I mean, Tank and I, and Tank will attest to this. Tank and I have been having the same conversation since 1997.
Yeah.
Like, every year Tank's like, oh, he's got to get in. Tank's big on the Hall of Fame. He's got to get in. He's a bona fide Hall of Famer. He's got to get in. There's no building. There's no building that showcases all my immortals, all my favorites. You don't think, as much as a big as an Andre the Giant fan that I am, you don't think I would love to go to Florida or Connecticut and see a building with a shrine to these guys? I went to Toronto. I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Gretzky's got a wing, okay? I went to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Michael Jordan, a wing, Larry Bird, Dominique Wilkins, Patrick Ewing, all my heroes growing up are enshrined and encased in immortality. All my favorite wrestlers get in, Paul Orndorff, Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen, Andre the Giant, all my favorite guys get in, and it's like they don't have a building. They don't have a building. They don't have... It's a nice little ceremony the night before WrestleMania. You get a ring. It's something to watch. It's cool. My wife loves it. It's her favorite part of the weekend because she's a casual fan, obviously.
She doesn't like the WrestleMania part of it.
Right. Well, it depends. But, it's for a lot of people, it's a big deal. For me, it's not a big deal unless it's a freaking building. Build something. You're a billion-dollar company. Make a building.
I don't know. They built WWF in New York, and that didn't really stick around for too long.
How do you put a restaurant and charge $17 for a hamburger and $12 for a pint glass and expect to stay open?
Well, a lot of places do that in that area.
Yeah, well, when you're catering to a different audience, it doesn't happen. They didn't make any money. They bombed on it. You mean to tell me if they make a Hall of Fame or a museum like that, you don't think that'll make money? You don't think it'll draw people? First of all, Dave, people come from all over the planet to go to WrestleMania every single year. It's an event. It's the Super Bowl of sports entertainment. Am I wrong?
You're correct.
Okay, so why can't you build a building? Why can't you make a building with all these guys and everybody? I mean, people are going to get in. It's not like a baseball where you have 530 writers and you have to wait. You have to wait until these guys get voted in. You have to wait until they retire. You have to wait 5 years. There is none of that in pro wrestling. There's none of that in pro wrestling. Guy retires if he had a storied career, if he was over with the fans, if he made money, if he put asses in the seats. Put them in. Gimmick guys, put them in. They have a celebrity wing. Put them in. Put everybody in. And every year, you put a couple of guys in at a time, and that's pretty much it.
Right now, the best thing that we got right now is the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in upstate New York. And there are some other Wrestling Hall of Fames throughout the U.S., but they're more kind of like really old school professional wrestling, like Luthez kind of stuff. I think I got to take a look to see what Hall of Fames are out there that have physical locations. But if those things can, thrive, especially if there is a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in upstate New York that people can visit, they can, buy tickets for admission. They can, go to the award ceremony and stuff like that. WWE can definitely do that as well.
All I'm saying is that, I went to a engagement party in upstate New York, and it was the catering hall was inside the Harness Racing Hall of Fame, okay? So if the Harness Racing Hall can get a Hall of Fame, you don't think sports entertainment, the WWE, global billion-dollar company, public traded company, I should say, can't get a Hall of Fame? Can't make a building? I don't understand. I just don't understand. I know. You guys look forward to stories and some of the guys' speeches. Listen, I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying,
just want a place.
Right. Get a place. Get me a building. Get me a physical building.
A $17 hamburger.
Well, yeah, true. But at least it's more of an attraction.
Yeah.
At least give me an incentive to go. I don't want to go to Midtown. I go to Midtown all the time.
It's not even that fun in Midtown.
Well, the food wasn't even that good. I was there. All right.
At least the concert's there.
Let's move on before I lose my mind.
Yeah.
I got some sad news to report. I hate reporting sad news 2 weeks in a row. It bothers me. Legit bothers me. Jason Knight. Jason, the sexiest man alive, if you follow ECW, one of the ECW originals and former TV champ, revealed on Facebook that he has been diagnosed with throat cancer. He described it as being advanced and said the battle really starts now. Jason has been promoting, training, and booking in the state of Connecticut where he now resides. I got to see Jason. I got a funny, quick story about Jason. The last Legends of the Ring that you and I were at. At the hotel, I was in the bathroom. And you meet crazy people in the bathroom,
And then you found out why he's the sexiest man alive.
Well, yeah. He comes in, and I'm just pretty much done. And, I'm washing my hands. Jason gets done behind me, looks over, goes, "Hey, how's it going?" I said, "Oh, what's going on, man? Nice to see you." He goes, "Yeah, likewise." Because I remember seeing Jason back in the day. He was always cordial with him and Justin Credible. And we're friends with Justin Credible now, which is pretty cool. Come full circle, I guess. And he was fascinated by the hand drawing
the one that the ultra thing goes really fast.
The hand dryer.
You know, the one you hand, but it blows like that. The super hot. Yeah, like he was like.
It makes your skin like fold.
Looks like a Maxell commercial, right? He was like, oh, this is
fantastic. Guy in the chair.
He's like, this is fantastic. And I was like.
I was like, this has been around since forever.
I don't know, dude. Maybe he doesn't get out much. But either way, he was a good talent. Either way, he was a good hand. And he entertained me. And I hope that he beats it. And I hope that he gets well. And we're praying for you. Jason, the sexiest man alive. Remember when Joey Styles used to scratch himself because he used to make Joey Styles itch?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
I'm sure a lot of guys in that locker room were itching for one thing or another.
He had some good matches with Mikey Whipwreck, too, I thought. And
he
managed to jump.
Did he give Mikey Whipwreck his first title win?
I think so. And he also was the He also managed Paul Laurie, the Giant Killer. So
who was feuding with Mikey Whipwreck.
With Mikey Whipwreck, yeah. All right.
Well, he wasn't the Giant Killer. He was the Giant Paul Laurie, who was like
I'm sorry. I stand corrected. Yes, the Giant Paul Laurie, who was just as small as Mikey Whipwreck.
He was smaller than Mikey Whipwreck. The guy looked like he was like a little over 5 foot.
That's pretty funny.
Hence the name, the Giant.
It's pretty funny shit.
Yeah.
Former WWE diva and now current Ring of Honor talent, Maria Kanellis and her husband, Mike Bennett, are currently working Ring of Honor without a contract.
Really?
Yes. Both sides have been negotiating. They will continue working with ROH and are both scheduled to work tours of Japan with them this year. There's a feeling that Kanellis and Bennett will be talking to TNA and Lucha Underground really soon. How do you feel about that?
You know, to be quite honest, I'm not a big fan of either of theirs. So I really could care less what happens to any of them. But, you know, I wish them the best of luck.
Yeah.
I do find it funny when, you know, Mike Bennett's been over in New Japan lately, teaming with Matt Taven. Whenever Maria is on screen on New Japan television, like, they have that camera solely on her.
Right, of course. And
just the way with how women's sexy clothing is just getting, like, smaller and smaller. Like, the camera is just focused on how, like, fucking micro her, I guess, like, shorts, for lack of a better term, are just, like, the fucking vag is, like, almost hanging out.
Yeah, her poon tights.
Yeah.
Yeah, she always wore that stuff, though. All right, and Mike Bennett grew on me. Mike Bennett's been growing on me since he had the feud with Steen before Steen left.
Hmm.
So it is what it is. I hope they either way. I'd like to see him on TV. So,
tweets their own. Phil.
Speaking of ECW again, Taz is experiencing some podcast success. His the debut of his podcast, The Human Podcast Machine, went number one on iTunes this past week.
Really?
Yeah. He had Edge on, so good for him. It wasn't too terrible. It was good. I mean, if you guys get a chance, download it. I think it's not like an hour long.
Was he on Podcast One now or just?
No. I think he's on CBS Sports, something like that. It's not Podcast
Taz?
One.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to Taz, and I shouted him out on Twitter, and he, you know, thanked me and he retweeted it. So, you know, whatever. I'm happy for him. He's a good dude, and good for him. Let's see what else I got going on here. Not much news going on, Mega Powers. I gotta be honest with you. I got some breaking news that broke right before, I guess I got it like 6 o'clock, and then AA sent me a message of it. So we all know that the Izod Center was supposed to be hosting SummerSlam this year.
Yeah.
Which is the old Brendan Byrne Arena, Meadowlands Arena. It's almost like a landmark in East Rutherford, New Jersey, right across the street from MetLife Stadium.
That's where I saw my very first professional wrestling event.
I saw Ric Flair's 6th title win there. I saw SummerSlam 90.
Against who?
Against Sting. Yeah.
You said it wrong.
No, Ric Flair won. He beat Sting.
No.
What are you talking about?
He beat
What are you talking Sting. About? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, dude.
Come on, man.
Dude, I'm not even...
How long have we been doing this.
No. I haven't been paying it. I'm sorry, dude. I'm totally off tonight. I had a long day, Mega Powers. I apologize. He beat Sting. Thank you. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm allowed to make a fucking mistake here, right? At least the sound didn't crap out on me.
Not when it comes to Sting.
Sting. So, yeah, I saw that there. I saw SummerSlam 97 there. I saw a Nitro. It was a Nitro. No, something else I saw there. But I saw a lot of stuff there, actually. So, and they're supposed to be closing now as of March.
Hmm.
So they're talking about bringing – and we were going to tailgate and do the whole thing over there. But now if it moves to Newark, I'm not tailgating in Newark, you know?
I don't know. Newark has been getting better these days.
We're going to tailgate and do a podcast in a parking lot of Newark, New Jersey?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you better bring a box cutter with you.
I don't know. Newark is really shaping up these days.
Yeah, man. I don't know. We'll figure it out, but – We'll all be there regardless. If they're going to move it there, they might move it to the Garden. And if they move it to the Garden, that's cool for nostalgia reasons because I was there for the first one in 1988, which is pretty cool. But I'd rather do an outdoor thing and whatever it is, what it is.
Well, we'll get to do it in beautiful Newark, New Jersey.
Either way, we'll be at SummerSlam. And if we get some power and an internet connection, we'll be broadcasting live. For the rant. Yep, for the rant with the Shining Wizards and whoever else wants to come hang out with us.
Like Rage.
Rage is going to be joining us for the Royal Rumble pre-show on the rant.
And he lives in Newark.
He does live in Newark, so maybe he'll give us a tour. Maybe he'll tell his homeboys.
So I'm going to have to pick his ass up and get all the bullet shots or speed holes in my car put.
Yeah.
And then pick him up.
Yeah, so that's cool that we're going to have Rage in studio with us. That should be fun. And what else we have going on? Do you want to talk about the Sunny thing with Ashley Massaro or no?
Yeah, we could talk about it. Now, what was the deal? You know, somebody was asking Tammy Sitch if she was an escort. And she said no, but Ashley Massaro, who was actually supposed to be on our show.
Yeah, and she dicked out on us. Thanks.
Well, apparently somebody was dicking her. So anyway.
Allegedly.
But what was it? You know, somebody mentioned, but it was Tammy Sitch who mentioned that she was previously an escort and just continued to talk shit. I am not a Tammy Sitch fan, by the way. I was never a fan. I was back when I was a kid. But nowadays, that woman just has, to quote the Fear song, the mouth don't stop.
Well,
that's the problem with women today, especially Tammy Sitch. And you know what? Ashley Massaro fired back, guns a-blazing, and posted a photo of herself now, still looking pretty damn good. Who whether just she's trying- getting deep dicked by a bunch of dudes, and a disgusting pic of Sonny looking like Jabba the Hutt.
She actually signed a 1-year deal with PWS, Ashley Massaro. Right before this all went down.
Talking about the number two promotion in Raleigh?
Either way, yes. I'm talking about Pro Wrestling Syndicate, one of the hottest promotions right
now. The second hottest promotion running out of Raleigh, New Jersey.
Either way, TVWLNY PWS, so good for them.
Yo, but this was disgusting. I believe somebody put it up on our it's either our page or Shining Wizards page. How like there's like an exchange on Twitter between Tammy Sitch and this random chick, and she's like, you know, I'd eat the corn out of your shit, or I would just eat your shit. And Tammy Sitch was like, oh, that's like disgusting. And the woman like wrote back like, you know, I'd pay, you know, I think you would charge too much, but I would pay to do that. And then Tammy wrote something back like, that's pretty gross, but DM me anyway.
Yeah, and I got the Skype picture. Someone paid for her to do some stuff.
I'm sure a bunch of guys did.
And then took cropped shots of her and sent them to everybody. So I got a bunch of them, and I sent
her. I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I did. And you know what? I have no problem with Tammy. Tammy was always cordial to me every time we did an event with the Wizards, or every time I saw her at one of the house shows or whatever. And also, she was nice enough to sign my book for Mikey for free. She didn't charge me for it. She could have. She charged everybody else to sign a book. She didn't charge me, which is cool. So I appreciate that. But I can't condone. You know what? I shouldn't even say that. If that's the way she's got to make her money, whatever. I mean, it's not illegal.
If she's got to sell her shit to somebody. Literally, like fecal, you know.
No, but people are paying for it, dude. So it's not like she's. It's not like her just doing it for the sake of doing it. People are paying her to do stuff and whatever. And this happens.
Buck on something, I guess.
So, dude, if she wasn't a wrestler, I mean, I know dudes that pay for escorts and do some crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have friends I grew up with that just for funsies would get these and go to Chinatown, get the happy endings, and you know. But
no, I don't know.
No, yeah. <okay. laughs> Anyway, I have no problem with her at all. I really don't. But again,
it is what it is. I'm not a fan of hers.
Yeah, just to show you were never a fan of hers. That I can vouch for.
I was a fan of hers back in the day, but, you know, I don't like what she's become.
Okay, that's fair.
Granted, I don't know her personally. That was pretty cool if she did give you an autograph
for
free.
No, she did. She did. I'll show you, you know? She didn't have to. And you know what? Even Marty Jannetty, who was at her table, signed the book for free, too. Like, didn't have to, you know? They just knew who we were hanging out with, and they saw interacting.
They know we give them the good drugs, so.
Well, either way, whatever. I'm just playing devil's advocate here, you know. I don't condone putting your cooch online, but.
I don't know if she's gonna give that away for free, unless you're the right man.
Obviously not. Obviously,
a wrestler like Josh Daniels.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's get into some Facebook questions, unless you have any more news.
No, I don't have any news at the moment.
Okay. Very, very, very light on the Facebook questions this week.
Yeah, I think we only have one.
actually, we have one, two, three, four. Three from the same person, so.
Oh, shit. I guess we'll answer them all. Why not?
Why not? Baza wants to know, who would benefit most from winning this year's Royal Rumble? And who do we think will win?
Guess if we're gonna go for a name guy, I would say Daniel Bryan.
Right. Okay.
Because the guy's been away for a bit.
Right.
You know, he needs to make a big statement for his return. Guy's still gonna be over whether he wins or loses. You know, they're still gonna put him in a prime spot. He's made a name for himself finally. But it would be nice to see him win the Rumble and be one of those guys who's always winning shit. You know, he's going to be, you know, Daniel Bryan, you know, I've been watching him since 2003 or 2004, maybe. So it's been a good 10 years that I've been watching this guy wrestle. So he's not getting boring to me anytime soon. And I'd rather see guys like that, getting pushed to the moon, as opposed to John Cena.
I'm going to agree with you that Daniel Bryan would benefit, and I think Roman Reigns is going to win a Royal Rumble this year.
Yeah, I feel if Reigns doesn't win it, it's probably going to be Daniel Bryan.
Right.
But regardless, Roman Reigns is going to get a top spot anyway. I was already looking at the Madison Square Garden card for next month because Hogan's going to be there. And Daniel Bryan is going to be facing Kane, and I believe Roman Reigns is in a tag match in the main event.
Yeah.
So if you're main eventing Madison Square Garden at this point and you're still a new guy, chances are you're going to be wrestling at WrestleMania in a prime spot.
Yep, I agree. All right, Boz also wants to know, with Wrestle Kingdom 9 still fresh in your memory and receiving popular reviews, who from the card would you choose as a surprise entrant for this year's Royal Rumble?
Oh, boy.
You want to answer that first?
Just because he's the ace of the company, I'd say Tanahashi.
I'm going to say Naito.
Really? Yeah. Because you like screaming his name?
That, A. And B, he'd be the only guy expendable. I don't see Tanahashi leaving New Japan to come to the Royal Rumble. Nah. I think Naito can be a guy that you can market.
Well, I'm picking Tanahashi just because
He's the name.
He's the guy. Right. And, you know, not to say that, you know, I'm just being real fantastic with my choice. You know, I'm not saying, like, if this was like a real fantasy rumble and it just didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't, like, whoever you put in there, like, they didn't have a spot. It's just, you know, they're just going in there by reputation.
Right.
I would pick him to be in it.
That's fair. I just think they can market Naito, you know. I think they can market him. He's a guy that you know, has a lot of guys that night had.
I think it's funny that his little gimmick when he's coming to the ring is that he opens up his eye like wide.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely a mocking thing to white people, even though he originally did it in Mexico.
Right.
But still, I think it's pretty funny.
Give him a cocky, arrogant, like almost like a I'm better than you type of gimmick in WWE. Hold on a second, Mega Powers. We have an incoming call.
White Weasel meat.
Good evening, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, fellas.
Hello, sir.
It's the evening. It's not the afternoon.
Well, depending on where you live.
Oh, different time zones. It's only 6:40 where I'm at.
Ah. How are you, sir?
Well, good. Well, we are celebrating the Golden Globes this week. We had the award ceremony last week, and we are in Hollywood, Florida. Boo. But
so wait,
anyways,
it would be the same time zone.
Oh, well. Well, we're celebrating wrestlers in the movies, and we've got a bang-up event out here. We've got Doug Dillinger taking tickets for everyone, and we've got Marlena working the concessions. So we are doing good, and we are having a Suburban Commando movie marathon.
Oh,
so come on out and enjoy it. But also, we're showing a couple of movies and TV shows that really never made it, but have some old WWE and WCW wrestlers in there. I don't know if you guys knew, but before Batista was in Guardians of the Galaxy, him and Brutus Beefcake did a movie together way back in the day, and it was Booty Man and the Beast. No. And it was a great love story. You'll have to check it out. It was way old. And then we also, you guys just mentioned her, we have Tammy Stitch in the new remake of Scent of a Woman. So we'll see how that smells and how that. And then we have a great show. It was a TV show. It was a pilot. It never got picked up. Carrie Von Erich was doing a TV show of Footloose, and it just never really caught on.
Oh, come on. Ring the bell, goddammit.
That's amazing.
Hey, it was great, though. It never caught a leg. You know what I mean? It never got on good ground, so it never made it through. But the movie that everyone's talking about, it has all of these acclaims, nominated for all these awards. It's about a small boy who moves to the ghetto and learns how to adopt an urban lifestyle, and it's Dave Megapowers in Dances with Weasels, and it's just a great movie on how this young boy adapted to this urban lifestyle. It's a tearjerker. So we're excited out here. We're excited that Turnbuckle Throwbacks is sponsoring this, and we just want to tell you guys, come on out, enjoy these great movies, and we'll see you next week.
And vote for Maniac Matt for the Ranty.
Yeah, Tank and stick it. All he does is go on there and complain. Come up with some original content, son, then come talk to me. Later. We'll see you next week, folks.
Maniac Matt, the man on the street. Thank you, sir.
Woo!
All right.
You know, Black Hammer is going to be pissed off that Maniac Matt is calling black people weasels. That is totally out of line.
I think it's great that we have our own Lee Marshall. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, dude. It gets better and better every week. All right.
Yeah, the Footloose was...
Footloose was classic. Thank you very much, Maniac Matt, the man on the street.
You know, but he did miss Pat Patterson in the remake of Roadhouse. Where I think you know what line that I'm talking about.
Yes, you are. And of course, the Mr. Fuji doing Karate Kid 4.
So, oh, God.
All right. And all right, get back to the questions real quick. Baza is thinking about the 92 Rumble when Flair came in at number 3 and won the gold. Could that be rehashed with the twist being Mr. Money in the Bank coming out to challenge for the title? No shenanigans, simply Mr. Money in the Bank tries to take advantage of the Royal Rumble, winner's exhausted state.
Wow. So wait.
In other words, like, say
a second. Is he saying that, you know, fucking Seth Rollins wins the Rumble as well and has the Money in Bank and the world title shot from the Rumble?
Somebody wins the belt at the Rumble, right?
Okay.
Who's been in there for like a gazillion hours, and then he's sitting there like on his knees, huffing and puffing, and Seth Rollins' music hits, and he cashes in and wins the belt. That's fucking brilliant.
I think it would be brilliant if he wins the Rumble and he has two shots at the World Heavyweight Championship.
But he's not even in the Rumble, though. He's in the Triple Threat main event.
Okay.
With Brock and Cena, which we'll cover next week. We'll give out the predictions next week.
Okay. I'm saying, you know, if he wins the Rumble, he has two shots at the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
Say he loses at WrestleMania, he fucking cashes in right then and there.
That's dope.
Again.
Mr. X won.
Of course, hits Cena or whoever over the head with the briefcase and then cashes in the rematch right then and there.
Hold on a second. Tony C, what's up?
You know what, fellas? I had to chime in because Mega Powers, you know, you're right, Matt. We are not weasels, okay? We are mammals. And that's just really hurts a little bit.
No, that really burns some bridges right there.
That really, exactly. Burn some lowercase t's for that one.
Lowercase t's.
I expected
t's.
That from him.
He put a lowercase t on your lawn and said, "Time to leave."
That's funny shit.
Exactly.
Mr. X wants to add a movie to the film to the Globe.
We're a month
Globes.
Away from the Black Achiever Awards, and
you know I'm just
dumbfounded right now.
You know, I'm presenting the main award. It's a big deal. I'm the one that brought Black History Month back to the rant. And Maniac Matt, living up to his name, you know, had to ruin this special moment for all of us.
We're moving close. Those lines we thought we had crossed those barriers, and God
you know,
dang it.
He just had to cross.
We got Oli coming out. We're going to have a moment with Oli and and Al Sharpton. They're going to hug and embrace at the Black Achiever Awards. And look.
Do we have to have Al Sharpton?
Of course.
Yeah. All right.
He's the Jesse pillar. And Jesse and Oli, they're going to sit down and they're going to have
David
a summit.
Duke is going to be there too.
Tony, who's that political correspondent from TV1? That heavy said.
Oh, like, Roland Martin.
Yep, he's gonna conduct the interview.
He's gonna be conducting the summit.
Yeah.
God, you know what? And Matt, I thought he went somewhere totally other than where I thought he was going. I thought he was gonna say like Cena, a movie with Cena or something.
No,
he took it.
The other movie he forgot to mention was Mr. X said Pat Patterson and Chris Canyon in Brokeback Mountain too.
It broke back. And you know what? Matt took a shot at Suburban Commando. You know what? Taker was in that too, you know.
Yeah.
Just to be. So don't forget.
Ed Moore stank to that awfulness.
And the Hulkster, is the guy that brought Taker to the WWF, brought him to Suburban Commando.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. A lot of people don't give the Hulkster, Big Tear, enough credit for bringing all these great talent.
And Mr. Maskwise,
movie screens.
I don't appreciate that shot at that, which is Hollywood. You could have said 12 rounds of freaking The Marine or something.
Yeah. Wait, what was that Triple H movie with him busting the kids?
Oh,
the
Chaperone. I'm the game.
All these wrestlers busting kids to different places. Triple H, Simmons, Lex Luger.
Speaking of busting in, I got the invoice for the water pump for the Ron Simmons bus.
the fuel pump.
It is. The fuel pump has been ordered, so...
Is that what he's been using to siphon gas from other presses?
1976.
If you see the bus and it has Express on it, don't pay it any mind. This is not the same bus. It's a different bus. It's not the same bus that pulled up to Turnbuckle Throwbacks tonight for Royal Rumble 94. So, and
yeah, I gotta say this about the Lex Express. It didn't really go to many big name cities.
You know what? It frequented little podunk towns, you know. So,
didn't go
Lex
to,
wasn't.
It didn't go to Jacksonville, though, right, Tony?
No. It wouldn't make it out of Jacksonville.
If the dog.
It wouldn't make it.
I think it passed by New Jersey, too.
Passed by Newark, Newark and Camden, too. Yeah, man.
But I had to call in, show you guys some love because you're doing Royal Rumble 94 and. You know, Lucas should have been the man, but I know you guys are going to get into it.
Yeah, this is a fun one, man. When we picked this out last month, this was like the turning point where they were just hitting rock bottom at this point. They were like losing the fans, you know. But I mean,
they're still doing good at this point. It wasn't until at least for me, it wasn't until
I don't know
SummerSlam.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, certain things I dug, and we'll get into it when we cover it, but I just think, like, this was, like, the turning point when the ship started to sink. You know what I'm saying? So, either way, I thought it was a great card. Really, yeah. It really was a great card, I thought. Looking back on it now, watching it again 20 years later, you know, so, no, Matt, when I talk about you, Matt Legend in the ring, and he's in the chat room there running his mouth like he's in the ring there. Fucking lunatic. All right, Tony C, you want to hang with us while I take a break, or you just want to call in and say what's up? And I think we lost Tony C.
Yeah, it's just you on the line right now.
All right,
I'll back with you. Sorry about that.
All right,
this guy's banging on the phone out here.
Tell him that, you know, we're doing a show here.
Tell him you put your quarter in the slot so he can wait. You know, you're in Tootsie's right now, so
that's what I'm talking about. All right, I'm gonna take a break. Tony, you hanging with us?
It's a packed house tonight at Tootsie's.
Yeah, it's a packed house on a Wednesday night. You hanging with us, or are you gonna jump off?
I can hang with you guys for a little bit.
All right, I'm gonna take a quick break. I gotta run downstairs for a second. I'm gonna plug our friends, and we got a kick-ass throwback for you guys tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on RantEMRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Hey, kids. You like the show? You like the shirts that we're wearing? Well, we're selling them. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. We have three awesome styles. We have the original logo with artwork by Dean Stahl. We have the NES cartridge parody logo shirt. And the British-inspired World of Wrestling Turnbuckle Throwbacks Shining Wizards Network shirt. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks t-shirt, man. What are you waiting for? Be the envy of all your friends at your next wrestling event. And, of course, the girls dig it. Chicks love a good throwback. I know. I'm living proof. Every girl crazy about a shirt that's me.
G'day folks, AJ here. When you finish listening to this fucking podcast, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher and check out myself, Lee and Punch on the fucking Bloke Show.
We talk about a whole variety of topics like comics, cartoons, movies, television, and sports.
And we're often joined by guests like Deck from Ireland and other friends from all over this wonderful planet.
Once a month, we jump into the DeLorean and take a look at the history of professional wrestling.
And once a month, we look back at actual history with TWiT, This Week in Time.
And once a month, we talk about whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
So please follow us on Twitter at TBSPOD.
And talk to us in the Facebook group, The Bloke Show.
Now, I don't give a fuck what you cunts do. Just listen to this fucking thing.
Podcasting Network.
Hey,
Thelonious Punk here, and I'm interrupting an otherwise quality podcast to let you know about our little show, NXT Cast. It's the only international podcast devoted to the future of the WWE, NXT. I'm joined each week by Chris NXN Nixon and the Austrian cyborg Bernard Binder to go over the latest NXT rumours and news, as well as an in-depth analysis of the latest episodes and the current roster. So if you're looking for a wrestling podcast that covers arguably the best in-ring product that WWE is producing today, then find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic and NXTcast.net, the international podcast devoted to the yellow and black, NXT Cast.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Belt Maker. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
Happy 61st birthday to Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Using, what was it, John Studd's theme song, but with just a bunch of hoes over.
Yeah, that was a question, actually. By the way, we're back, I'm sorry. That, and also, Abdullah the Butcher turned 73 years old the other day, by the way.
Nice.
Let's see. Yeah, Eric wants to know, what if a title shot at WrestleMania was always a stipulation? Could you see guys like Jim Duggan, Boss Man, Big John Studd, main eventing at WrestleMania?
No, not really. Because the main events that they had for WrestleMania at those times were insanely good. So why would you want to spoil it with having Duggan or John Studd?
It's funny because... Go ahead, Tony.
No, I was just going to ask Dave, the question is... If those guys had title matches, would the ref actually ever show them the belt?
Wait, when did that happen? I forgot when we talked about that recently, right?
Yeah, that was when Firebreaker Chip and Firebreaker Chip episode.
They didn't even show them the belt.
No, looking back at wrestling, you know, you're young. You don't even pay that in attention, but now, you know, thinking about it, damn, it was a lot of people that had title matches. The ref just held the belt out. That's when you know, like, they had
There was a lot of guys like that they would show the belt to. They wouldn't win the match, but they would still show up the belt. And they would, you know, they would like touch it or whatever. They'd nod their head at the belt, and the referee would hold it up. But for those dudes, Nick Patrick. He didn't even show him the belt. He just held it up and gave it to the ring announcer.
Nick, tell him, all right, give him the belt. Then you just see him hold it up and walking straight to the timekeeper. Here you go.
Yep.
There's no need to show Disco Inferno the TV title. He ain't winning it anyway.
Nah. I think he won the TV title, though. But...
He did, I'm just saying. Not at the beginning, though.
Nah.
So, Prince IK, you don't need to see this.
Nah. You don't need to see that. Before I get into the throwback tonight, I just want to give a quick shout out to our boys over at and our girl over at the Mega Powers Radio, Chunky, Larry, MSR, and Reanimator, who were gracious enough to ask us to present an award at their award ceremony last week, which was the Powies. So Dave and I announced the Tag Team of the Year, which was cool. And if you want to laugh your balls off, they had some awesome presenters. They had Dusty Rhodes made an appearance. Dusty made an appearance. A bunch of people. The Solemn Master, Wrestling Soup, Kevin Gill, all these guys were they gave awards. It was pretty cool.
So, and we were a part of it.
And we were part of that. So it inspired me, man, because we have the Ranties, we got the Powies, we got the Black Achiever Awards. I think we're going to do an award ceremony this year, guys. I think we're going to have to do an award ceremony.
Well, it has to be all throwback related, too.
Of course it'll be throwback related, of course. And we'll get all our peoples involved. And
can't do what everybody else is doing.
No, of course. Dave, do we ever do what everybody else is doing? We're different. We're special, too. So anyway, Tony C's on the line with us from the rant. I listened to you guys last night. Some funny shit, man. And I want to just follow up with a point that you made about WCW last night. Not related to the podcast, but I wanted to call in last night, but the whole rage thing, I called in about that instead. But you guys had a point when you spoke about how when guys made the transition from somewhere else to WCW, they were acknowledged for their accomplishments in other places. When you went to the E, it wasn't like that. It was like they were just like they were brand new people. So I just wanted to commend you and AA on that, and I don't and Lee chimed in on it too. I think that's a very valid point, because it seldom happened. And like I remember talking to you guys about Vader. Remember when Vader showed up on the Bash and he beat the shit out of Tom Zink, and nobody knew who he was, but me in the room screamed my head off because I knew who Vader was by reading the mags. And everybody in the room was like, who is this guy? I'm like, what are you, stupid? You know who this guy is? He's amazing. And I carried on. And, like, even the announcers, they were like, well, they didn't hype him.
Not at all.
Well, what was it? It was like Bob Powell calling that match, too.
There's nothing wrong with Bob.
Commentators of all time.
But, you know, like, WCW, when they made the transition in, like, 91 to WCW, like officially WCW, I think that's when they started making things a little more reality based in terms of recognizing guys for their accomplishments outside of WCW, because again, things were still, the territories were still there, but they were a dying breed. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it just made me think of a great like commentating team. If these two guys were a part of a commentating team, granted no moves would be called, it would just be them yelling.
Right.
But if David Crockett and Don West were a commentating team, I think the world would explode. It would implode on itself.
Between David Crockett screaming between spots and Don West just screaming.
Look at him!
And then you have Don West. Be dialing, people! Andrea Sosa rookie card! Mark
Can
McGuire!
You top this?
Can you tell throwing a knife set for you? Yeah. Oh, Anyway, but yeah, just shout out to again.
Yeah, imagine if they did the Vader debut commentating.
Oh man, they would blow their voice.
They would call the power bomb. They're like, "Look at that!
That's amazing!
I can't believe it!"
I hate when they don't. Go ahead, Tony.
You know they kind of did Vader wrong, man. They bought him in. He had that feud with Michaels at SummerSlam '96 for the title. And then next thing you know, he's in a freaking feud. He's in a tag team with freaking the Patriot and doing the freaking mess like that. Like, come on. And you know the infamous match with him and Michaels at SummerSlam?
Yeah.
And Shawn Michaels was cussing him out during the whole match.
Pretty much.
But
Vader seemed like he was kind of out of his element when he came to WWE and also, you know, one thing that people don't really bring up too much, but he looked a lot smaller inside of a WWF ring compared to when he was in WCW.
But Dave, Vader was a beast in WWE. You remember when he beat Sting for the title?
Of course.
Remember that powerbomb?
Doing the fucking moonsault.
When he was doing the whole King, when he was doing the King of the Mountain gimmick with the freaking
with the Mastodon,
that was awesome.
And then they bought him in, and they had him.
Wasn't like, Dave's uncle his manager, Tony?
For a little bit, yeah.
Colonel Rob, yeah.
And then his other uncle, Harley Race. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
How come Dave has all these fucking famous relatives, and he can't get them on the show? What a dick that Mega Powers is.
That's one thing about the Mega Powers. He doesn't like to use his pull, as we say.
That's right. Yeah. Dave's keeping it real.
He's humble.
He's humble. That's right. He's humble. That's right. He's humble.
I got some great guests in the past. So.
You did. No, shout out to Mega Powers.
And he's booked Harley for the Black Achiever Awards.
That's right. I totally forgot about that. My bad.
So we appreciate him.
the best chauffeur.
That's fantastic.
And the best bag boy award goes to.
Tony, I got to tell you, this Black Achiever Awards thing, man, if this goes over, oh, man.
You know, I have
You know, Tony, I have the statue that's going
no,
to
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he does.
You got to send it to me, Dave.
Yep, and Tank said we should give everybody Golden Corral gift cards. Me and Tank were hanging out on Saturday.
More of a Popeye's chicken gift. Okay.
Yardbird.
You got to say Golden. You can use it at Popeye's or churches, whichever you prefer.
Or Kennedy Fried Chicken.
Oh, oh my God!
Don't get me started.
Colonel Fried Chicken, like from Undercover Brother.
Yeah, pretty much.
General's Fried Chicken.
General's Fried Chicken, same thing. They all use the same buns, the same dinner rolls. I love those dinner rolls.
Oh my God!
All right, let's get into
gift card to McDowell's too.
Come on, Dave. Who's gonna make it all the way to 8507 Queens Boulevard just to go to McDowell's? Okay.
I'm sure people will find a way.
All right, let's get into our throwback of the week, all right, shall we?
And now, McDowell. Here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
McDowell's.
Well, wait a second. Another great place we could give gift cards to is... was it Roscoe's chili?
Waffles?
No, Roscoe's chili and donuts from Black Dynamite.
Oh, Roscoe's chili and donuts! Christ. Oh, come on! Dude.
Yeah, and what was it? Like the main actress, like she's going up to get her chili and donuts, and she's like, "Can I have some more hot sauce for my donut?"
You know what? I've been working with a lot of sponsors for the Black Achiever Awards and Fast Lane. That's going to be a joint production. Fast Lane and Black Achiever Awards. I'm going to tell you guys that. Me and Vince are in talks. We're trying to make it a whole weekend. That's stiffity. We're going to get some rooms at the Giddy Giddy Inn. A couple rooms at the Giddy, the Red, the Nasty Kitty. And
with the jungle they're room, they're gonna have the jungle room.
Exactly.
Wasn't that a room in Elvis's place at Graceland?
It's a room at the Cross Bay Motor Inn in Queens. I can tell you that.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Oh yeah, I frequent that. That was a fine establishment back in the day.
You know, there was a mutual friend of me and the Wizards, and lives in West Orange. Drove out a few times to hang out. And drove by a place called the Rusty Nail.
Oh Jesus!
Oh man, that sounds like they have that sounds like a 5-star establishment.
I think that's where all guests of the Black Achiever Awards will be staying. At.
Yeah, we may have to book that venue, man.
Tell where they're staying, Bob. Guess we'll be staying at the Rusty Nail,
where you can enjoy beautiful. Smorgasbord of intercontinental breakfast. And they have bagels, big old bagels.
Big old bagels? And complimentary yard bird.
Not in the morning.
Not in the morning, no. You get this for room service.
Chicken yard bird omelets.
You get gizzards omelets. Gizzards and grits, baby. Gizzards and grits. Oh, I stand corrected, Tank. It wasn't the Crosby Motor Inn. It was the Q Motor Inn off the Grand Central. You're right. I stand corrected. Either way, I was there 4 times in the 90s. So.
And I want to make an announcement. Also, AA didn't want to announce this, but I'm going to do it anyway. The winner of the Royal Rumble contest gets an all-expense-paid trip to the Black Achiever Awards.
Oh.
So you're telling me that they can log in into the website and listen to it? For free, like everybody else?
No, they get all expense paid trip.
What does AA do for a living that he's fronting all this dough?
I mean, first class all the way. First class tickets via Soul Plane Airlines.
Oh my God.
You'll be staying at the King's Tower Hotel in California. And you get free tuxedo rental from Ike Turner Suit Emporium, and and first class accommodations, and you get a limo ride on the stretch Ron Simmons bus. It'll pick you up right from your front door.
Jesus
Christ. Of the hotel, so. Royal Rumble winner.
I'm going to stop at some YMCAs, but.
Don't be distracted. Don't be taken by the kids on the limo.
Yeah, he's going to just drop him off at the Omni anyway. So.
All right, let's get right into the throwback. 1994.
The Norfolk Scope.
No, it's not. Oh, it's in Providence, God. Rhode Island at the Providence Civic Center, January 23rd. 14,500 paid. This is the 1994 Royal Rumble.
Wait, there's only 14,000 people at that event?
14,500. Wasn't a big place, dude.
Wow.
Wasn't yeah, a big that's place not at a all. Lot at all.
No, this was the, I believe, seventh Royal Rumble. And there was a dark match, obviously, that we never got to see. But I did get the results of the Brooklyn Brawler beating Jim Powers.
Oh, man.
Wait a second. That was like the dark match, the dark match for the last event that we did, right?
I think so. Matt Legend wants the Carlton Banks tux for the Black Achiever Awards. I think we could
win the Royal Rumble.
And Matt's coming from Canada, bro. So we have to. If he wins, we definitely got to put the front up for him, man. No doubt.
Yeah.
What's that?
First class.
Yeah, first class. Yeah. The Brawler used a swinging neck breaker to get the victory. The broadcast opens up with Vince McMahon announcing Ted DiBiase would be doing color commentary. How about that?
Yeah, he actually did a pretty good job.
I thought so. You know what? The thing with DiBiase was I thought that his timing was a little off. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but I think he felt like he didn't want to step on Vince's toes. But I mean, he came out with some good stuff, but I felt like it was like off timed. You know, does that make sense?
Plus, it was like his first time calling an event, so.
Right. So, your first match was Tatanka, the Native American, versus Bam Bam Bigelow with his main squeeze, Luna Vachon. Rest
what
in peace.
What was the? Why did this feud start? I vaguely remember why they were fighting each other.
Wasn't it because of the money? I mean, Ted DiBiase's stable.
No, they hooked up later on after that, though.
Oh, that was later.
No,
okay, that was this later on in this year.
Yeah,
DiBiase's last match was SummerSlam against Razor Ramon.
Yeah, he disrespected the tribe, whatever it was. Bam Bam said some like derogatory stuff towards Tatanka.
Because I think this was right after IRS. Tore up the headdress of Tatanka that was given to him by Chief J. Strongbow.
Right, yeah.
Then Tatanka had a feud with IRS, which actually got to see a strap match between them at the currently it's called the Izod Center. But
was it a Yavapai strap match?
It was not a Yavapai strap match. That was not in existence yet. But it didn't come until like a year later. But I saw the strap match between them, and they had somebody from the Giants as like a special guest referee. But I think Bam Bam came into the picture after the IRS feud.
Yeah, so this match was pretty good for an opening match. I thought it was fantastic.
And Tatanka was still undefeated at this point.
Right.
Undefeated.
Right. Tatanka missed a crossbody from the top turnbuckle. Bigelow used his weight to keep the advantage, sitting on Tatanka, and later on using a bear hug to wear him down. Of course, the two hit each other with simultaneous cross bodies. Tatanka does his little war dance. Aye, 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 aye. Bigelow kicked Tatanka in the back of the head, regaining the advantage, but missed a critical moonsault the big man did from the top rope, allowing Tatanka to perform a cross body from the corner to get the victory.
How can a guy like Bam Bam Bigelow miss a moonsault?
They always made Bigelow miss the big spot.
Yeah, he always missed that.
Ludwig Borger did get hurt, Axel.
You want to see that guy hit that move. Even when I was a kid, like I was strictly anti-heel, but I wanted to see them hit those kind of moves.
Right, because it was just out of the ordinary.
Hit it, Bam Bam.
Yeah.
You can do it. Hit it. Come get some.
Come on, Bam Bam. You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it. Dave's sitting there with his big Coke bottle glasses. But
no.
I actually did have a foam Tatanka tomahawk.
Of course you did.
Of course you did.
Of course. Tatanka's
you would always hide it when Uncle Oli came over.
Because Uncle Oli would make fun of the Native Americans.
Oh,
and Mega
on.
Powers.
What are you doing?
And Mega Powers would cry like the old Indian in the 80s commercial and the 70s commercial when the garbage would wash up on the shore. And the, you know the commercial I'm talking about, right, Tony? And then did you see the tear in the eye of the close-up? That was Mega Powers every time Uncle
Oli. You know that guy was actually Italian, right?
Yeah. So was TJ Strongbow. Every time Uncle Oli would come over, Mega Powers would have to hide all his ethnic toys because Oli would pick on him.
Well, what was
Mom
it?
Would give him a heads up.
Did you know that what was the fucking dude that was with Sergeant Slaughter?
Cheek Adnan Casey, General Adnan.
Yeah, you know, he was in the WWF as a Native American wrestling as Billy White Wolf.
Right, right.
Billy White Wolf.
Right. No,
Billy
right.
White Wolf became Muhammad Hassan or whatever this dude's
right, is. Right, right. Sheik Muhammad Hassan. Not Muhammad Hassan.
I'm getting my Israeli
ethnicities mixed up.
My Iraqis mixed up.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Muslim powers.
So was Jose Lothario, was he Indian? What was Jose?
No, Jose was straight up Mexican. He was in San Antonio. He wrestled for Tully Blanchard's dad and all that. He was a Texas standard. I think he even wrestled in World Class, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe chat room can help me out with that. I don't want to throw facts. I don't know. But I know he was a big deal in Texas.
So Oli would have a problem. Uncle Oli would have a problem with Jose?
Are you serious? Yeah, he was. Oli Anderson was the Zeb Coulter of the 80s. Look how he cheated Thunderbolt Patterson, for Christ's sake. And that was a tag team champion. He called him the N-word every time, and not because he was his boy either. He dropped the N-word because he was angry at him.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry to give Oli such heat on this network, but we got to love him, man. He's coming to Black. We're going to bury the hatchet with Oli.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah,
I hope so. I hope so, man. Well, I want to erase the hate. This is 2015. We got to get it together, man. This ain't right.
He comes dressed as the Black Scorpion, though. All bets are off.
Oh, man. You know, Axel in the chat room is bringing up that Ludwig Borger did beat him before.
Ludwig Borger covered for was replaced by Quan. I'll get into that in a little while.
But but during the commentary between Vince and Ted DiBiase, they said he was undefeated.
Tony C, you know who we have to get on the Black Achiever Awards?
Who? There it is for the night.
Yeah,
I
we
told
need
you.
To reach out to Eddie from The Shining Wizard, see if we get Stevie Ray for the show.
Oh, gee, you know they're doing a reunion, right? Harlem Heat?
Yeah,
really?
For Booker T's promotion?
It.
And they're fighting...
Hey.
Yeah.
Are they inviting your uncle? Is
Rob, Uncle Rob, he might be there. He might bring back the. He might
well,
bring
back... well, well,
well, well,
well, well, well.
Rest in peace, Sister Sherry. All right, second match of the evening was for the tag team championship. The Quebecers, Jacques and Pierre, fighting the Hart brothers of Owen and Brett the Hitman Hart. This was a. They showed a promo beforehand. There was some dissension among the ranks. Owen felt like he wasn't getting his due diligence in the family.
Well, at Survivor Series 93, he was the only Hart family member that was eliminated in the match.
That's right. So that was. But then they apparently buried the hatchet, as Tony would say. They buried the hatchet, and they want to move on now and go for the World Tag Team Championship.
Wait, bury the hatchet because we just talked about a Native American not too long ago?
Pretty much. All right, so the match started pretty slow, actually. Both teams go back and forth. They're brawling. The Hearts focus on Pierre. I thought the Quebecers was a great angle. I loved Scotty Flamingo.
Yeah, these guys were super heels at the time. Like,
great.
I remember when I was a kid, like, the Quebecers just seemed unstoppable. They pulled the fucking wool over the Steiner brothers' eyes with winning the belts. Like,
yep.
They beat them in a Province of Quebec rules match, was basically a way to fucking get the Steiners to do something stupid to get disqualified so they could win the belts on a technicality. I think
What was the rule? Like, pile drivers weren't allowed?
Yeah, they started.
Like Rick Steiner had to hit him with a fucking pile driver?
Yeah, they added a bunch of stipulations.
Couldn't throw somebody over the ropes. He couldn't look at somebody in the eye. I don't know.
Oh, Bill Watts rule?
Yeah, pretty much.
Bill Watts rule. Couldn't
yeah, pretty
to,
much.
You could not go to the top rope. That was another rule.
Yep.
What's it called? So the Quebecers won the belt on the technicality against the Steiner Brothers. Steiner Brothers were fucking red hot. Roided up to the gills at that point too, and they were just like one of those dudes. Like, you know, when I was a kid, I knew they had a reputation in Japan, and they were beating like guys like crazy. They had the IWGP heavyweight tag team titles like a couple times over. They had the tag belts in WCW. You know, they were suplexing like 300-pound guys over their heads. You know, these guys had it all. Like, they were more or less unbeatable. And
Dave, you're saying that's all roids.
All roids.
All roids all day.
Yo, those
kind all of, roids shaped like Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy on Subway.
Exactly. Those guys could have like squatted like the side of the arena if they wanted to.
Could they have squatted the Lex Express?
Yeah, most likely.
All right. Let's get off the Steiners for a second. So the Hearts focus on Pierre. Jacques obviously was eventually able to tag in to rescue him. Pierre regains the advantage. Owen tags in, takes control of the match. He applied the sharpshooter to Jacques, but Pierre breaks the hold. Brett tagged in but fell out of the ring, and kayfabe hurt his knee when Johnny Polo pulled the ropes, right? Mm-hmm. And the Quebecers focus on Brett's knee, obviously, until Brett regained advantage, and he applies the sharpshooter. He was not able to stand up, however. So the referee stops the match.
Yo, good old match stop.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the only way. Like, well, first of all, they were building this up. They were hyping it up because this was going to be Owen Hart's dream match. You know, the brothers were back together. They patched things up. Owen Hart, we all knew, was in the new foundation, and he switched over to High Energy wearing the fucking MC Hammer pants.
Those pants were awful.
Oh. Awful. Finally, the guy got some, like, decent.
Coco.
Oh, he's with Coco.
He's Cold Scorpio.
Who will be at the Black Achiever Awards?
Flash, you are so funky.
Is that going to be the part of the indistinguishable Black Guy Award?
They can't tell the Black Guy Apart Award goes to.
They All Look the Same to Me Award goes to.
Yeah, there you go, Dave. There you go. That's shit. What we can call it.
Yeah.
So after,
but anyway, they were building this match up that this was Owen Hart's dream match. He was finally going to get like a title shot to actually win a title. Had the odds, you know, the odds were stacked against the Quebecers because they had Bret Hart, you know, on Owen Hart's side. He was a former world heavyweight champion, two-time tag champion, you know, one-time intercontinental champion, one-time world heavyweight champion. The guy was a Grand Slam champion, and everybody knew this was like classic WWE booking. Whenever like there was a super red hot like babyface going in for a title match, they always gave it to the other guy, and they always came up with some like great like way for the heel or whoever to like win the match. Yeah, complete swerve. Like, this was, like, totally stacked against the Quebecers. Bret Hart, Owen Hart were totally going to win this match. And, of course, Bret had to be selfish and not tag out.
And he got himself
the
hurt,
match
right?
All by himself, and look what happened.
Right, Bret gets himself hurt. So after the match, Owen yells at Bret for not tagging out of the match, like Dave mentioned. He then turns on Bret.
Why would you just tag me?
And then he then turned on Bret by kicking his injured leg.
He kicked his leg out.
I am not a nugget!
And leaving him flat in the ring.
He kicked his leg out of his leg and then left him in the ring.
Setting up an awesome WrestleMania match between them two at WrestleMania 10, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and again, who the hell thought Owen Hart was going to win that match at WrestleMania 10?
No, it was a great match. And we'll, I think we should do WrestleMania 10 this season.
Yeah.
All right.
WrestleMania
10 was good.
No, there's no off season.
No, there's no off season with the throwbacks.
I need to find those commercials when
the XFL.
When, No. It wasn't the XFL. It was when Major League Baseball was on strike.
Oh, yeah.
WWF started doing those commercials saying, we're never on strike.
Oh, you know you should find that. I'll make those into commercials, absolutely.
And was it Macho Man going out onto the baseball field and some dumbass kid trying to play baseball, but he can't because everybody's on strike. But the WWF's not on strike, so we have the Macho Man sending him to a baseball field.
And actually, MLB.com actually recognized Savage this past week when he got inducted to the Hall of Fame. When he got introduced as he was getting into the Hall of Fame, I should say. MLB.com actually sent an email out. MLB sends me a news email every day about the top headlines. And they mentioned former minor leaguer, pro wrestler, gets inducted into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was in the minor league team for what, the Cincinnati Reds or something?
And the Cardinals, I believe.
Yeah, Cardinals. Yeah.
So, all right. Your next match was for the Intercontinental Championship.
Scheduled for one fall.
Right. Irwin R. Shyster, otherwise known as IRS.
15-minute time limit? What was the time limit on this match?
Champion Razor Ramon defending against IRS. Jim Ross and Gorilla Monsoon taking over for commentary at this point.
Yeah, the commentating team for Radio WWF at the time.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So now...
And Radio WWF was...
Radio WWF. I forgot all about that.
They were the... it was for, like, the armed forces, so they could listen in on to the event.
So, yeah, the WWF was innovative at that point, doing in the whole
America. We're on the radio now, even though we're on TV.
Call a match on the radio.
It's a pretty good match, though. I thought it was a decent match.
Yeah.
The guys...
Another swerve ending, too.
Yeah, the brawl, eventually IRS throws Razor Ramon over the top rope, attacking him to the floor. IRS kept control of the match for quite a while, actually. The half-hour headlock, the reverse chin lock.
This was his match. I could have sworn it was.
Yeah, Mike
slowed it down.
Slowed it down immensely. Razor Ramon then escapes, performing a halfway slam, so to speak. And then
the fall-away slam.
Yep, the fall-away slam. Yep. And then he used an Irish whip to throw IRS into the corner. The
Irish whip from a Cuban guy.
Right. Well, no, that was actually... Anyway. But Irish whip by a Cuban guy. The match turned around when the ref got bumped, of course. Joey Morella always getting bumped, always in the way. Was kayfabe.
Well, he was in the way of that car, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a hell of a ref bump.
Isolate that for a clip. Isolate
nobody
that.
My apologies to the Morella family.
Now we're going to have mothers against drunk drivers fucking protesting against the turnbuckle throwbacks.
What?
Bad enough for competing against Impact. Or whatever. What's on Wednesday nights now?
NXT.
NXT, that's right. Good
but
job.
But it's on before our show.
Oh, it's on before. Okay, so that's cool. Yeah. That's not bad.
Now on Wednesday is it 8 o'clock.
IRS mentioned before the match, though, every tax cheat in the state of Rhode Island showed up here tonight.
Well, apparently every tax cheat goes to wrestling events.
That's right.
So.
That's right. Yeah. So, all right. Joey Morell was knocked out. Shawn Michaels comes in the ring with his fake Intercontinental belt.
It looked pretty real to me.
Yeah, it looked pretty real to me, too.
He does, like, the worst. He just hits him in the back with the belt, and then he's, like, knocked out for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, so now IRS tries to revive Joey Morella to count for the pinfall. IRS appears to win at this point, but the ref, of course, Earl Hebner, or was it Dave Hebner, who knows? Explain the situation to Morella when Michael's belt was discovered in the ring, the match was restarted.
You know, I'm gonna throw this tidbit in later on. Didn't finish the match, so.
Oh, no, I didn't finish yet. So then at this point, Razor Ramon grabs IRS.
Who's celebrating in the corner like a big dummy.
Yeah, on the second turnbuckle, he was celebrating.
Big dummy.
You big dummy. It's a big one. Who was standing on the second turnbuckle, then, of course, Razor Ramon performs the Razor's Edge and retains the Intercontinental Championship.
You know, I was at a really shitty independent show, and Scott Hall was like, he was definitely wasted wearing his Outsiders, gimmick, the vest and the tights and all. It had this big-ass gut hanging over his tights. And he was facing Marty Jannetty, who came down to Shawn Michaels' theme song. And it wasn't quite the same ending. Like, there wasn't, like, a false finish. But I saw Marty Jannetty celebrating in the corner, and I was like, oh, shit. He's screwed. And he got the razor's edge on us.
I just like this match because it's two future NWO members. So, you know, even though IRS was on the B team, but still.
I hated the NWO at that point, man.
Oh, come on.
The first 6 months
of the NWO. They weren't even alive yet.
The first 6 months of the NWO was brilliant. After that, it shit the bed. We'll talk about that in another podcast. But anyway.
But listen, I wanted to throw this out there, a little background on the match. You know, obviously this was a setup for Shawn Michaels'
ladder match
of WrestleMania 10.
Right.
But nobody really remembers the background for this match, and there was a reason for the feud, and that was because the Million Dollar Man was starting shit with the 1-2-3 Kid, pinned, which led up to their SummerSlam match, which was Ted DiBiase's last match ever. But you know, to take his place, IRS was talking shit. And his ass got pinned by PJ Polacco on an episode of Raw.
As Aldo Montoya.
No, as PJ Polacco. He wasn't Aldo Montoya.
That's right. You're right, yes.
Yeah, so he got pinned by PJ Polacco on Monday Night Raw, and that set up the feud between Razor Ramon and IRS. So the very rare occasion where a guy gets pinned by a jobber on national television and still ends up with an Intercontinental title match as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. Those circumstances.
All right. So let's get into the next match, which is for the WWF Heavyweight Championship. It was a casket match. Obviously, champion Yokozuna. Loved Yokozuna, by the way.
My Yokozuna.
Yosh. Defending the World Heavyweight Championship against the Dead Man, The Undertaker. Howard Finkel does announce that the casket match would be next. He explains that there will be no countouts or disqualifications, and that the first wrestler to get his opponent in the casket and close the lid would win the match.
You know, the predecessor to this match was the body bag match.
True.
Ultimate Warrior defeated Ultimate Warrior. In his own match.
Yeah. Who won that one, David? Was it Warrior or Taker?
No, Warrior beat him. And then they
actually zipped him up.
And that inspires Dave to have a body bag match every other Saturday now.
With Undertaker in it.
With his girlfriends. All right. Let's see. Yokozuna had great difficulty inflicting any serious damage on the Dead Man. At all during their feud.
Well, he's the Undertaker. He no-sells everything.
But it was soon revealed that Master Fuji had arranged for several wrestlers to get involved on Yokozuna's behalf, including Crush, Tenryu.
Kona Crush.
Yeah, Kona Crush, Tenryu.
No, this was like just before he went into Prison Crush.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So it was Brian Crush. Yeah, Crush, Tenryu, Bam Bam Bigelow, and my man, the great Kabuki.
Kabuki!
Every time I think about Kabuki, I think about this.
Kabuki. Are you an assassin? Are you a soldier? Are you an errand boy? I think you're an errand boy, my man. Gary Hart declared war on the American dream. Dusty Rhodes. Gary Hart is the assassin. I will come for you both.
All right, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but...
The least remember Dusty Rhodes.
This is Dusty Rhodes as Marlon Brando doing the Colonel Walter Kurtz gimmick from Apocalypse Now. He's got the face paint.
Okay.
Yeah, he got the face paint on, and he's got a red bandana, a red headband that says war on it.
So I wonder who did the Colonel Klink gimmick for Hogan.
It is the funniest thing ever. And it's Kabuki, are you an assassin? Are you an errand boy?
Oh, God.
Anyway.
So 18 million guys come down the aisle.
Right, but Undertaker was able to fight back until Mr. Fuji steals the urn from Paul Bearer.
Who would have thought that the power of the urn was driving the Undertaker?
But Paul Bearer takes some nasty fucking bumps in this match. Yokozuna opens the urn, and out comes this green smoke. Right? Here comes this green. So now, meanwhile, Adam Bomb, Jeff Jarrett, the head shrinkers, and Diesel come out to the ring now to help Yokozuna, right?
Bam Bam Bigelow.
I mentioned Bam Bam. Eventually, Yokozuna and his allies were able to shut the Undertaker in the casket, right?
Yeah, but they had to fucking steal the urn, drop it on the floor.
First of all,
wait a second. I want to throw this out there. When I was a kid, I did not have cable, so I could not watch this pay-per-view. So, you know, the next day at school when I'm hearing this stuff, it's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, they're supposed to have a casket match.
Can you imagine telling me?
Eight guys coming down the aisle, and why is there smoke coming out of the urn and stuff? Like, I was perplexed.
Yeah, can you imagine the schoolyard talk the next day? Did you see the Royal Rumble? Did you see the Rumble last night? No. There was smoke coming out of that urn.
Well, wait a second. First of all, WrestleMania 9... Like, the next day when I heard the news, they were like, oh, Hulk Hogan's the world champion. It's like, how is he the champion? He wasn't in the main event for the world title.
Right, but he interjected himself again to save Brett. Yep.
You know, it was still, you know, I was still excited that Hogan won the belt, but it just was mind-boggling that WWE was so future-thinking by doing something like that.
And now, Phil, we know where TNA got that nasty ending. To that Magnus and AJ Styles match.
This is
the
true.
Whole roster came out.
Yeah, good point, Tony. Good point. Yeah. All right.
They were watching Royal Rumble 94.
They were watching Rumble 94.
But who would have thought, you know, this, like, I still really love watching this match. You know, obviously they had the shitty rematch at Survivor Series with Chuck Norris as the special guest enforcer.
You don't say a bad word about Chuck Norris on this podcast.
I'm saying all the bad words about Chuck Norris. You, but anyway,
don't talk bad about Walker Texas.
You don't
want
you goddamn right. You don't. You'll be looking for a new job. You'll be hosting the call-in show with friggin' Morgan if you keep that up.
Don't you dare threaten me with that.
Yeah, well, you don't say a goddamn bad word about that Chuck Norris on this podcast.
So anyway, besides that shittier casket match. This was like really like sports entertainment like at its finest, and like when they're bringing the casket to the entranceway, you know, the screen hits and then there's green smoke coming out of the casket.
Right. Cool. Let's get into that. They lock the casket, right? They push it in down the aisle, and then all of a sudden smoke starts coming out of the casket, and then Undertaker appears on the screen at the end of the aisle, vowing to return. Which in essence, he had a back injury, so we all.
That was actually a really good promo that he did.
It was. Yeah. The casket was shown exploding on the screen, and then allowing the casket in the arena did not explode. Obviously, after the explosion was shown, a person resembling the Undertaker was seen rising to the top of the ceiling of the Civic Center. Do you know
soon
who?
Soon, all mankind will witness.
But it wasn't
the Earth. Undertaker.
Yeah, but do you know who the person was?
I'm trying to quote some of the promo.
Oh, go ahead. But the person playing the fake Undertaker Rising
the
was
fake Undertaker
was Marty Jannetty.
It was Marty Jannetty.
It was Marty Jannetty.
Wow,
poor Marty.
So
it's
but I mean, fun. I thought it was fun. It was funny. It was great. You know,
it was really cool. I love love the promo that he did, and I like how he ended it. He ended it with "I will not rest in peace."
True.
Yeah.
And now the main event.
Got one question, Phil.
Go ahead, brother.
Who was the commissioner, the president of WWF when this prior to this main event?
I'm getting to that right now, sir, in my next set of notes here. It's President Jack on the take, Tunney. Before the Royal Rumble began, Vince McMahon announced that on the take, Tunney had shortened the interval between entrances from the traditional 2 minutes to 90 seconds due to time constraints.
Sounds good to me.
Kamala was supposed to compete, but he was replaced by Virgil. Great.
Good selection.
Great. Ludwig Bodega, Tony Helm, who was in our last throwback in New Japan, could not compete due to an ankle injury. He was replaced by Quang, a newcomer, which Quang, also known as
the Puerto Rican Ninja.
Rikishi.
Oh, man.
I thought, wait, no. Quang was
Savio Vega?
Savio Vega.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Savio Vega.
Quang Savio Vega?
Oh, was he? All right. Anyway,
come on.
Either way, he was a newcomer. In addition,
I'm going to confirm that right now.
The 1-2-3 kid was replaced by, in his first appearance, Thurman Sparky Plug.
Yeah.
Bastion Booger was scheduled.
Yeah, wait a second. He was Quang.
I apologize. Okay.
Because I remember he did basically the same move set.
I'm doing this by memory, man. Leave me alone.
All right. Well, that's I'm here.
All right. So you corrected
me. Make sure you got your Quangs and your Rikishi's correct.
You're pushing your luck.
Rikishi's correct.
You're going to be delegated to Saturday nights, my friend.
Oh, come
on. I don't know. If you keep getting these facts wrong, we're going to have to send you over to Mr. Will I Am Morgan.
What are you reading, Comic Book Show?
Yeah.
All right. Sparky Plug made his debut that night as well. So we had two newcomers, Quang and Sparky Plug. Bastion Booger was scheduled to be the 25th participant, but he did not appear for unknown reasons. Vince stated that he did not appear because he felt ill. He did not feel good, I should say. Yeah, Savio Vega was a good worker, though, Mr. X. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
TNT from WWC.
This was the Diesel show. Diesel was the man in the Rumble.
He was the, Kane, there was Diesel.
As the Rumble began,
Roman Reigns.
Scott Steiner drew number one. And, of course.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Roman Reigns has the record now.
Yep. And his former rival, Samu, from the Samoan SWAT team, had drawn number two. Early in the match, Diesel tied the record by throwing out seven consecutive wrestlers. Let's see. Shawn Michaels was involved.
You can tell he was getting that Reigns put that
yeah,
well.
Absolutely.
Before Reigns.
Well, hey, you had, we were talking about how, the past Rumbles or what was it? For this event, you know, you had a bunch of guys that were going to face each other down the road or something like that. Diesel met some of his future opponents in the Royal Rumble. He
Shawn Michaels.
He eliminated Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
Man, he would defeat for the World Heavyweight Championship probably in less than a year.
9 seconds in the Garden.
Eight, nine seconds.
It was 9 seconds. And he also crossed paths with his future SummerSlam opponent, King Mabel.
Ooh, rest in peace.
The original King of Kings.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Sir Mo.
Shawn Michaels was involved in Diesel's elimination, although inconclusive camera angles led to speculation as to whether he was helping eliminate Diesel or trying to save him. Diesel wrestled as a heel at the time, though.
Yeah.
The crowd gave him props anyway.
Well, hey, on the pre-show that you were playing before, Shawn Michaels said that Diesel was going to do the right thing and let him eliminate him.
You had a bunch of feuds going on, though, guys. You had Crush and Randy Savage. Crush eliminated Savage. Bam Bam Bigelow and Doink.
All these NWO member feuds.
Right, yeah. Not Doink, though. Doink annoyed Bigelow with a bunch of pranks in late 93, and their feud was to be settled in the Survivor Series, but the team of Doinks that Bigelow fought was just the Bushwhackers and men on a mission dressed up as clowns.
Clowning around, treating the Royal Rumble like it's a joke.
So when he met in the Rumble, Bigelow quickly eliminated Doink the Clown, getting his revenge.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah, man. The Royal Rumble
match.
They
had a big mixed tag match at WrestleMania 10.
And, of course, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels rekindled their feud after Jannetty came down from the rafters helping out Taker. They traded some punches. Jannetty entered the match, and Michaels, of course, eliminated Jannetty from the match. So,
of course he did.
So now let's get to the nitty-gritty. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this Rumble. Of course, the last couple of guys in the ring were Lex Luger, Bret Hart.
The man.
Right, Lex Luger and Bret Hart.
Total package. The thinking man's wrestler.
The narcissist.
Yep.
The narcissist.
No, he was Stars and Stripes.
He was Stars and Stripes. He was always the narcissist, I'm sorry.
The Allied Powers.
So,
Ally Empire. Oh my god.
Here's the thing. I didn't have a problem with the finish. Even now, watching it 20 years later, of course, we all know what happens. The match ends when Luger and Brett simultaneously eliminate each other, and then two referees get involved, arguing about who landed first, again with the nonsense, inconclusive, terrible NFL camera angles.
Oh, I love how like there was like one point, like, you know, after they already make the announcement of, you know, the co-winners of the of the 1994 WWF Royal Rumble. I want to get into the announcement too, because that was funny too.
Right. So eventually Jack Tunney comes down, right, Dave? Is that what you're saying?
No, well, I wanted to bring up how, you know, you're talking about the inconclusive like camera work.
Right.
But they're literally seconds away from, you know, finishing the show. And then Vince McMahon's like, oh, we're finally going to find out the winner. We got the camera angle right here. And then it's like, it's just like another shitty camera angle where you can't see anything.
Right.
Inconclusive.
So here comes on to take Tunney again. He comes to the ring, right? And had Finkel.
Well, first of all, Fink gives like two or three false announcements of who wins the Royal Rumble. Yes, and I like how each announcement, first of all, he starts off with the winner of the Royal Rumble is, and then they're playing Luger's theme, and then like the refs are arguing, and then like he adds in another word for his announcement. It's like the winner of the WWF Royal Rumble is, and then they start playing Bret Hart's thing, and then they're still arguing over the thing. So the Fink, to add more drama to it, it's like the winner of the WWF 1994 Royal Rumble is, and then he has like this confused look on his face, like he doesn't know what to say.
So the situation regarding the title shot now at WrestleMania 10, which was to be given to the winner, remained unresolved until the following week on Monday Night Raw.
Well, they announced them as co-winners when On the Take Tunney got in the ring.
So
co-winner,
the winner. I mean, the winners of the 1994 World Wrestling Federation Royal Rumble are. And you know how they decided who was going to face who at the
coin flip toss.
So here's the aftermath, kids.
And that's that coin.
How much is On the Take Tunney getting paid for his job?
What's that?
How much is On the Take Tunney getting paid for his job, and he comes up with the coin flip?
Tony, what's On the Take Tunney's cut on that, man? What'd you get? 30% of the
30% of the WrestleMania gate
of the gate, right?
Where it goes over.
Is that Canadian? Is that Canadian money? Because he's Canadian, or no? He gets the U.S. money. Right?
No, it's U.S. currency.
Yeah, man, he's US On the currency. Take Tunney. He needs to get the whatever currency that is worth more.
So the plan was to keep Luger down. That's why he wrestled Yoko first,
right?
Well, Luger was supposed to win. The rumor is that Luger was going to win.
Luger's going to win
some bar, and he started blabbing.
Right again, what I tell you, he gets that liquid courage.
Don't get Phil started on that.
No, he gets that liquid courage in there, you know, and he runs his mouth. He brings up the Ole Anderson stories when he was a horseman. He thinks he's tough shit, and then he runs his mouth, and somebody some road agent runs back to Vince and goes, "Yo, Vince, Lex Bean."
He's telling everybody in Tootsies.
Yeah, he's in Tootsies, flapping his gums.
That he was in the Horseman before Kendall Windham.
Right, and so after Patterson's done tossing some dude salad in the bathroom,
after he's done fucking some dude like he did in prison.
Right, he goes to the back of Tootsie's, gets on a payphone because we used payphones back in the day, calls up Vince, be like, Vince, this, you got to hear Luger, he's flapping his gums again. And then that's it. Luger gets to the arena.
Telling everybody how he's going to be a man.
Right. He's telling everybody how he's tapping. He's going to tap Elizabeth. He's going to do all. He's going to get some pills. He's going to run. He's going to take over IcoPro.
He's going to be the Mr. Perfect at WrestleMania 9.
Right. He's going to do all these things, and then he gets to the arena. Nathan.
Nope. You're going on first, and you're jobbing.
That's right.
You're going out.
That's right, kids.
No, and he
That's
got
right.
dropped by Mr. Perfect, the man that he beat at WrestleMania 9.
So, all right, so
put his fucking hands on the referee like he shouldn't have been.
And this pisses me off because, again, he has another guy. He's another guy that Vince takes from WCW and does nothing with.
He's going to be the next Hogan.
Yep. Anybody who gets off out of a helicopter with tight jeans and snakeskin boots and no shirt. They had a plan.
Yeah, he had the American polo shirt, and then he took it off.
Oh, okay.
Because it was
either way,
tight, Billy. So, all right.
There was no need.
Wait a second. I want to add this in there because, you know, at the time, believe it or not, wrestling was pretty hot, especially before the whole Bam Bam Bigelow thing. And they were actually in the newspaper. They would actually like give the results of like what was going
to
happen.
Yeah, of course. Daily News had the slammer.
Yeah, even but I remember what was it? I would look to New Jersey Star Ledger, and they would have like, well, this is what's going to happen at WrestleMania 10, and they said Luger was going to win.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody thought Luger was going to win, dude.
Yeah, they would in legit newspapers.
Yeah, of course.
They would say like, we know what's going to happen, you know, at the event. So and so is going to win the world title, shit like that. And
but
they actually said Luger was going to win. Huh?
It made sense. No, yeah. I'm saying
it
made sense.
It made perfect sense for him to go over, but of course, him going to Tootsie's, running his mouth
after his trip at the Rusty Nail.
Come on, dude. Come on. How do you,
Sonny?
You know they had to have Lex should have had a chaperone, man. Somebody should have been there watching Lex.
Yeah, Holly Race.
Sure. Well, hey, man, you know Sting wasn't around there to get his back.
So. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, Jesus.
Sting wasn't there.
Anyway.
Yes, he had to rely on fucking Davy Boy Smith.
Davy Boy.
Yeah, another junkie. Good
Look
job.
What happened
he's somewhere getting his hair braided.
Right.
At that point, he had those long.
That's when the Brits all thought the Brits all thought they were Rastafarians at that point in the 90s.
What happened with that, you know?
Nothing. Nothing. All right. So here's the aftermath. Ludwig Borger obviously never went back after his ankle healed. So there was no closure with him and Tatanka. The feud between Tatanka and Bigelow was forgotten because, like you guys mentioned before, they all joined a $1 million corporation. And they even formed a tag team, and they challenged for the tag team title. They never won them.
Yeah, because the $1 million corporation was like one of the worst stables ever.
Right, with Nikolai Volkoff. The B team.
It was like the Z team. Come on.
The IRS Razor Ramon thing really got, they killed that off too. On the 31st of January 94 of the edition of Monday Night Raw, the 1-2-3 kids stole Razor Ramon's chains back from IRS, bringing that feud to an end. Then Michaels, of course, attacks Razor, increasing the hostility debate over who's the true holder of the title. Of course, they settle that at WrestleMania 10 in that success, in that very popular ladder match. And that feud ended between them two after Razor continued to feud with Michaels' best friend, Diesel. Right. Of course, Owen gets his match at Bret Hart, which Bret Hart refused repeatedly. And then the situation was complicated because the co-winner, being Bret of the Rumble, Undertaker Tunney decides that Bret and Lex Luger would get title shots at Mania, but that would mean they would have to wrestle each other two different matches at the event. Luger won the coin toss, like you guys mentioned, right, on Raw.
Yep.
He won the chance to face Yokozuna. If he lost, he would have had to fight Wrestle Crush, which I'm glad he didn't, because Savage and Crush tore the house down at that night. And, of course, under the rules set by Undertaker Tunney, Bret was required to wrestle Owen in the opening match at Mania. Owen wins the match, but of course Bret comes out of WrestleMania winning the title after Yokozuna drops the title to him. This led to the extended feud between the two that saw Jim Neidhart return from his friggin' hole, whatever cave he came out of, to side with Owen and Davey Boy Smith to make a comeback on Bret's behalf. So, these are several of the events during Rumble led to feuds and pay-per-view matches later in the year. I'm sorry. Diesel's performance in the Rumble led to him becoming an up-and-comer. Like you guys mentioned, he became IC champ shortly after WrestleMania 10. They formed a tag team championship at SummerSlam. Michaels cost Diesel the title, inadvertently kicking him. Finally, Survivor Series. The tension boiled over at this point when Michaels hit Diesel with another kick intended for Razor during their match. Diesel becomes irate. He had some kind of car escaping. Joe, he like ran to the back, jumped in the car. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
The Crush and Randy Savage thing was great. I mentioned that. Who cares about Bigelow and Doink the Clown? Undertaker.
Some people care about that.
Undertaker
match.
Didn't come back. In reality, like I mentioned, he had a back injury.
Hey, what about that great Earthquake versus Adam Bomb match?
Oh yeah. So of course now we know what happens the next year. Undertaker comes back with the fake Undertaker, who's Brian Lee, and Paul Bearer's original Undertaker.
And it was George Kennedy and Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen,
right?
Looking for him.
So.
And still looking for him.
Total Rumble time was 55 minutes and 8 seconds. That was the total.
You know what I remember from that Diesel, Shawn Michaels Razor feud thingy? I just remember the freaking turnbuckle always getting removed during those matches.
Because they would toss Shawn. Yeah, they would toss Shawn and Shawn would hard way into it and knock it over.
Yeah, because didn't they
just take it all?
Yeah.
Wait, when Diesel won the Intercontinental title on, what was it, like Challenge or something? That was because
of Challenge. Was because of that.
Yeah.
All right, well, I mean, it's Mr. Exos, what about Dink?
Queasy, Cheesy, and what was the other gun?
Who cares?
And fellas, what wasn't Brett and Backlund? At Survivor Series 94?
Yeah,
of course.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, throwing the towel match.
Yeah, the towel match.
The Rocky IV moment.
Guess who, was sleeping on the job during that match?
Who?
Davey Boy Smith.
How was he sleeping, Dave?
He got fucking knocked out, and he just laid on the floor.
Yeah, he just stayed there. He was
just too, like a Brit.
Yeah, he was on pain
meds.
Yeah,
and what
he
was
on
it?
Pain
it
meds.
Was Helen Hart, the Revenge of the Mummy. got out of her sarcophagus and towel.
Thriller. She's a Walking Dead.
She tried to scream.
What was it? Backlund had him in the chicken wing for your
crossface.
But terror takes the sign before you make it.
Phil said David Boy was high on painkillers.
The dude had back injuries. Even before he injured his back on the Ultimate Warrior trapdoor in WCW, the guy had a lot of lower back pain for a very long time.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, you keep doing that running power slam enough.
He put his body through some shit, man.
Hey, man, he kept running into poles, sleeping on the job.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Getting passed out, he was sleeping in when he was in that figure four leg lock in his own country.
It's true.
Oh, God.
All right.
What was it? When he lost the Intercontinental title to Shawn Michaels, that was due to, back injury. Yeah, plus, back there was another turnbuckle that was taken off, too.
We got to do a turnbuckle count. How many turnbuckles were lost in Shawn Michaels' matches?
Yeah, Shawn Michaels' matches.
The Shawn Michaels turnbuckle count.
He stayed taking off the turnbuckle, man.
He built a career on taking off turnbuckle pads.
Yeah. Compelling stories, man. It was a fun. I enjoyed this card. It was really fun.
Yeah, it still holds up, in my opinion.
I think so, man. Yeah. I'm glad.
Throw in the towel.
Well, I guess we'll have to do Survivor Series 94 now, too.
Soon, yeah. We definitely got to do Mania.
Rumble. I don't know which Rumble you guys are doing next week on your Go Home show.
No, we're not doing it. Are we doing Rumble? We're not doing a Rumble next week. No.
Oh, well,
actually,
okay.
What are we doing next week?
We're doing ECW next week.
Doing ECW next week. That's right.
Cool,
yeah,
cool,
man.
Cool.
But hey, I'll make the announcement now. We actually have a football related episode for the end of the month.
That's right.
Oh man.
Yeah, what, man.
We don't have to say what it is, but it seems like everybody knows what it's.
Yeah, we'll keep it hush until the end of the month. But
so it's a football related throwback.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh yes. Just in time for the Super Bowl.
It was my pick.
It was Dave's pick.
We had an open spot at the end of the month, and what was it? Phil picked something that we already did.
Yeah,
we did this already.
So not just a spot, not a liver spot, not on spot, but a football.
Not a spot on your back.
Not a spot on your back, right? Exactly. Exactly.
Because obviously, for February, we have to dedicate to our African American,
to our brothers. Yeah, absolutely.
Like Great Power Rudy, we're going to do a Great Power Rudy episode.
That's right, the Great Power Rudy.
You know what? And
my
I appreciate
friend.
You guys. showing so much, paying so much homage to, you know, us brothers and what we've done. You know, you got, and you guys don't, you know, pay homage to the big names like The Rock, you know, those guys like that.
The Rock's Samoan, so.
And Samoans are really Mexicans that can swim, let's be honest.
That can swim?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't know how to cook as well.
Pretty much.
But I enjoyed hanging out with you guys. Having me on, I feel privileged and honored, man.
It's always a fun time.
It's always a privilege and honor to have Black Hammer on the show.
Black Hammer and White Lightning doing a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, man.
And one day, we don't know when, we don't know where in the future, the Black Hammer and White Lightning show. It's gonna come a day, and I don't think the public's ready for it, man. I really don't.
Oh, that's gonna be classic.
It will be a classic.
I think we're gonna have to bump Mr. Will I Am's spot on Saturday night.
Oh, you're taking over?
You know what, Dave?
Yeah, we're gonna have to have him on at 3 a.m.
if we got on at 11 p.m. at night, a lot of people would be uncomfortable.
The Black Hammer and White Lightning show, that should be like a. Every 3 months, you guys should do it 4 times a year. Do it every 3 months.
All right.
I'm telling you, man, it would be over like Rover. No joke. All right.
Maybe we can talk to the powers that be, Jack Tunney's of the world, the JJ JoJo Dillon,
the double A's of the world.
Double A. Talk to the brass.
Yes, the brass and the board members.
Hey, man, he's allowing me to give away the Best Black Athlete Award, so.
Exactly. And so, funding that all-expense-paid trip to the Black Achiever Awards for them.
And the Golden Corral.
And the Rant EM Love Line coming soon.
Oh, yeah, coming February, man. February is a big month here on the network, so we just, you know, want to get it.
Be the best 28. Yeah, be the best 28 days of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna pull this train into the station. Been a long ass day for myself.
Good God.
Good God Almighty. Tony C, thanks for coming on, man. Unexpected. Really appreciate
you guys having me, and love listening to you guys, and much love, and see you guys next week.
Absolutely. We'll see you next week.
Take care, man.
Take care. Good night,
Tony. All right. Later, fellas.
Good night.
Peace.
Oh, Black Hammer.
Wait a second. We got a camera angle of who's going to be the real winner of the Rumble.
Anyway, Dave, any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
You know, I said all I need to say.
True, man. All right, guys. You know how to reach us. Reach all our friends. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com. There's links to everything that we're supporting right now, including our merch. Go buy a shirt. It helps us pay the bills. And we'll be back next week, man. Same bad time, same bad channel, man. No.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Nope.
Not that one. Here, where is it? Where's my Macho Man thing? Yeah. I just had a...
What up, match?
Ooh, yeah.
The Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey. Ooh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, the best Macho Man song.
Get down. All right, ladies and gentlemen, TumbuckleThrowbacks.com, RantEMRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, all new stuff, all new content. Go check it out. For myself, Phil Rea, and the Mega Powers, thanks to everybody in the chat room tonight. Thanks to everybody on the downloads. Shout out to all our friends, our family. And we'll see you next week. Say goodnight, Dave.
Good night, Dave.
Ciao.
Tunnel. Watch your man.